Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Same, babe.
Welcome to
Coco Caliente.
Wow.
Ooh, I got into that.
That was nice.
That was horribly intense, but man, I felt it. I'll tell you what. So Amazing Race is over. We're done with our recaps with the Amazing Race, and I appreciate everybody that hung on throughout that. And if you watched the show, thank you. If you didn't, I'm sorry. But now we're going to go back to our normal programming. And in lieu of, or in light of, or however phrasing you want to use, Big Brother is on.
Yeah, it is. So we're going to start talking a little bit Big Brother.
Yes. And not necessarily like... I mean, I'm not so keen on, like, doing recaps on Big Brother or anything like that. Nicole, she was thinking about it. I don't know if she's going to do it. It's on the table. So if
I'm just
guys...
trying to figure out our scheduling, like, because I know the house guests get evicted on Thursday. And so I was, like, thinking, well, maybe I can get the evicted house guests for, like, 20 minutes, like, to open up the show, but...
Or to close the show.
Or to close the show.
Yeah.
And... I just don't know if when we'll have to push the release of the show back till. So I'm trying to get all the scheduling figured out.
Yeah, so if you guys really want that to happen, just reach out to Nicole on the Coco Caliente page. Let her know that's something you really want to do. But we're not going to dedicate our entire show to Big Brother. That's just, we want to keep our show how it was, bring guests, and have me and Nicole and talk
but
different topics.
But there'll probably be Big Brother guests, too. Like
yeah,
within
yeah.
The
I mean,
season.
Always,
yeah, yeah,
always.
Yeah.
But like we had Paul, we didn't talk Big Brother the whole time.
Right. We want to give you guys insight on things that are more than just like the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like our regular mm-hmm. programming wasn't dedicated to
right.
a specific show. It just so happens that we were on The Amazing Race, and it worked out that way for us because, you know, if you're listening to us, we're assuming that you're intrigued with what we do. So
yeah.
But... since Big Brother is on, we wanted to give you guys a little flash to the past, to some very interesting, very loving, and I think...
Like the America's favorite.
America's favorite. They love them, Jeff and Jordan.
This is one of my favorite episodes. We taped it...
In Colorado
a long time,
a couple months ago.
Yeah, so we've been sitting on it, but I just love it because I love them.
And it's hilarious. And like for those of you who don't watch Big Brother, this is not going to be like a Big Brother conversation with them at all. It's really about their lives and what they do and how they even got into reality TV, XYZ. Very interesting, very funny.
We find out how much we have in common.
Yes, we have a lot of stuff in common. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy the episode.
Yes.
What was that?
So that beep.
It sounded like I swore. You're going to need that button.
So you can swear if you want.
Shut your... No. You're going to hear a lot of that during the... Sorry.
You're good. You're good. This is awesome. So we have two very lovely guests. I know I always say special guests. I'll say we have two lovely guests today. Some would consider them legends, right, in their own right. In the
Jordan's like,
BB Big Brother world.
I say they're everybody's favorite.
You guys are awesome. So Jeff and Jordan.
Yeah, man. We're old school. Let's put it that way.
Old school, yes.
Yeah.
And we're at their beautiful home here in Denver, Colorado. You might hear a little laundry, kids in the background. This is real home life living.
Do you want me to turn that off?
Yeah, we should turn that off.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, that's how we do it. And then we sit down just while Jordan's doing that. Every time we sit down, we're like, let's watch our favorite show or let's watch this. She runs the dishwasher. Like, what are you doing? Could you run that, like, before?
The most inopportune time to do things.
I have an OCD problem when it comes to laundry.
I didn't even notice that it was on.
I just heard in the background. Me and Nicole have a problem with laundry in the house.
Piling up?
Well, it's really
I don't know what he's going
to
say.
It's really that I go to the gym, right? And then she's like, how do you go through so much clothes?
He changes his clothes like four times a day.
I have the same problem.
It's so annoying.
We got boxers, sweatpants, shorts, a shirt.
Yeah, we know what clothes are. It's not like you're washing them.
You have like your bands, whatever they are. I don't know if you put them on your arm or something, and he hangs them over.
Oh, sweatpants?
First of all, no, I don't.
The white things.
Like the sleeve?
The tight things.
Under Armour things?
Go find one right now. I've never used one of those.
No, they're like white, and they're tight. I don't know what they are. And then anyway, so
where
hangs...
Where did you get that from? Were you watching a commercial?
No, he hangs it over the shower, and I have to go in there, and the clothes are soaking wet, and then I have... it's annoying.
Yeah, no, Victor has so much laundry, I just give up. I'm like, you do it.
No, and then I do it, and then after I start doing it, she's like, you're doing it wrong. Don't use the Tide Pod.
Yeah, uses all the good stuff for, like, the towels. It's like, you save those for the clothes.
Why have the Tide Pod if you're not going to use the Tide Pod? Let's not even buy them, then.
No, don't use them on the...
Oh, you guys are on your way. Trust me. You sound exactly like us. I do my laundry completely different than Jordan, and I do my own laundry, too, sometimes, because it builds up. First of all, you're not going down to the creek and washing it on a rock. You put it in the laundry, and it's done. She doesn't bleach any of the whites. I can separate my whites.
Yes, I do. I started doing it because you just got mad about it.
And then the way she folds it, I don't like it either. If she folds it, I undo it because she folds it down the middle. So this
you
is like
a nice big crease in the middle.
Yeah, and there's a line right down the middle. I appreciate it, but
I have two of the boys at home, and I could care less how he likes his laundry folded. If you want it done, I'm going to fold it my way, and if you're going to gripe about it, you can just
this is very therapeutic.
Do your own.
I like you know, I love. We've only done the four people
like couple
twice,
type.
And I love it
because
we get this whole guy girl understanding, and then everything comes out. It's a nice open film.
Men just think completely different than we do.
What'd you say?
Men think completely different than how we do.
Oh, yeah. When I wear clothes, like, if I don't get it really dirty, I'll just hang it back up. I don't know why you guys got to wash everything.
A
nice shirt, like, it'll shrink and it will deform.
I don't wash everything either. Especially, like, jeans or something. I really wait a long time.
I heard you're not supposed to wash your jeans.
You're not.
Yeah. By the way, that's my son, our son, in the background. And he's watching a movie, but he's excited about something.
Madagascar. Very happy.
Yeah, just so you know what that is.
Coco Caliente is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills. Which, for you, Nicole, that's perfect because what's something that you've been talking about you want to learn more?
I want to learn how to take better photography. So you can take classes in everything from photography to creative writing to design to productivity and more.
So it's like one of those things. Continuing learning is the best thing that you can do. And especially if there's some passion of yours that you want to get better at, I mean, Skillshare is the way to go. That's join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free.
That's right. Skillshare is offering Coco Caliente listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/Coco. Again, go to Skillshare.com/Coco to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/Coco.
Okay, so for people who don't know, which everyone will know who you guys are, but just like let's talk about your background for a minute. Jeff, you were America's Favorite on season 11?
Yes.
Okay, and then you played season 13.
Yes.
And you guys met on season 11 and Jordan won.
Yes.
And then you played 13 again.
Yes.
So both seasons you guys played together.
Right. So So the first season we met, we obviously didn't know each other. And then right after that, we did the Amazing Race.
We did it between
a month after. Right. And then
off Big Brother in September, and I think we went on the Amazing Race. It's Thanksgiving. right? Was when we left.
I don't know. November. It's from the story you interrupted me.
Oh, sorry.
Cool. But then I was just going to say, so they brought us back for season 13 because mm-hmm. it was a couple season. So if anyone knows, like Brendan and Rachel, they brought them back, and then Dick and Danielle. Mm-hmm. So it was six people who did it in the past and seven newbies. That's how the season lined up that year.
And I think, if I remember right, it was like last minute because I didn't want to do it again. Because it's so stressful.
I remember you guys saying know. That. And you already once, you're kind of just like, eh. Like.
Yeah, I didn't care. Mm-hmm. And I was just knew how it would be. And then I was like, if there's new people, it's going to be even harder. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I cried all the time on season 13. And I just was not happy. Yeah. And the only reason why I did it is because Jeff's like, come on, do it. Do it with me. Because he's so competitive. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I want to try to win. Which...
You know,
you're
honestly,
never going to win.
I'm like still sour.
He's
about season 13?
No, about that I've never won. Oh. Like we were an amazing race. We did Big Brother twice. I had three chances.
Yeah.
I told him to get over it. I'm like, you're like 40.
First of all, like, get over it. You won when you were 22. I can't believe I couldn't take one of those shows down. It's still...
You never will. Like, I'm sorry, but people like you and Victor...
Yeah.
You're considered strong competitors. Like me, I was basically like I was dead in season 11. I didn't do anything.
That's a great strategy.
And I'm telling you, yeah, that's serious. What you have to do because everybody's
underestimates
like,
you.
Yes, and everybody's like, I'm going to get out the threat. I'm going to get out the big buff guys or like the guys that are athletic, and I'm not going to worry about people like us.
Yeah.
And you crushed it. You were on three times, right?
No, just twice.
Twice.
But you
so the
won
second
your second time.
Yeah, but you're smart, and you won when you needed to win, and you were good at the competition. So my strategy is play dead as long as you can, and then win in the end when you can.
I did kind of play dumb, though, my second time, because I knew what else was I supposed to do. Play nice. Like, I was nice on the first season and kind of play dumb, like, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But, it's crazy how it kind of all comes together.
Right.
And they won, and we were favorites.
Yeah. Yes. I'll take it. I swear. At least it gives me a nice feeling inside.
That's, you know what? When it was all said and done, I was like, whatever. They like me.
Yeah, it does make me feel good. Because a lot of those people, especially being part of the show and working on the show for so many years after that, I see what a lot of people go through. I see what their personality was like on the show, and I can't imagine dealing with what they have to deal with outside. I mean, we get comments, and we were... Like you said, favorites, and we still get negative comments till this day, you know?
Which is crazy. Like, what have those people been doing with their lives that they're still negatively commenting?
I mean, the same stuff comes up I don't want to, like, rehash the past, but the same things come up. As soon as Big Brother comes on, I get clown shoe, I get every... It's like, I got to block so many people. It's like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, what's your life? So I do feel for a lot of the people, and, like, even... when I get off and do interviews like this, I'm always like, listen, guys, it's a game.
Yeah.
Even the people that I didn't like on my season, I'm like, we definitely reconciled. It's a game. This isn't their life. Please be kind to them when they get outside the show.
And something else, there's a lot of similarities between you guys and us, right? So Big Brother, Amazing Race,
right.
Engaged in the House.
That is weird.
I forgot about that.
That is. That's true.
We're just trying to be like you guys.
No.
Well, you better get going because we got two kids screaming in the background.
You better get busy.
That's so funny that we have so many similarities.
No,
but
it is bizarre.
But you mentioned the other side of things. So you like worked for CBS doing the interviews and stuff. How was that?
Well,
like,
before that. No, you're absolutely right.
I'm trying to learn
right.
how to transition. Like, he's normally the good transitioner.
No, you're doing great. But I think interesting is, how did you even get that job?
So what happened was when I was before Big Brother, I went to LA. I don't know if you guys know the whole story. When I was 24 and I tried to be an actor for like 2.5 years and
I
went back to
that.
Chicago and I was like, I'm done with this. I want a family and I want to just get married and things like that. So when I got back, I was doing that stuff in Chicago before I went to LA. So when I got back to Chicago, people were like, wow, you were in LA? And I started booking more jobs. Yeah, you go check on Lawson and then I'll finish the story. So I started booking more jobs after I came back from LA, you know? So, and then, I don't know, it just started happening where I didn't quit on it. So I just kept going with it and I started booking more things and like that. And then it just came that Big Brother was around the corner when I was 31, actually. I went through like a little rough patch. I don't want to take up all the time.
No, you're good.
Yeah, but I was in a bad space like mentally after I came back from LA, you know?
Uh-huh.
A little depressed, a little like kind of beaten, like I failed. Mm-hmm. And then I started working with my best friend and his boss and he was all about positivity. And I was doing telemarketing And he wouldn't even, like, I wouldn't even get on the phones. He'd be like, go in my office, listen to his positive, like, motivational tapes and this and that. I'm like, this is never going to work. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to go out and drink and be stupid and kind of wallow in my misery. He, like, turned my life around in, like, a year and a half, you know? He, like, made me think positive. Nothing was impossible, you know, focus on positivity, you know, get rid of the negative energy.
Yeah.
And it told, I mean, to this day, I listen to positive motivational stuff when I wake up every single day.
Oh, wow.
Totally awesome. Changed my life around. So that was, like, I was about 30, and he goes, when you're ready, your big opportunity will come.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be mentally ready.
Right.
And it was, like, clockwork. He was like, you're such in a great space right now after the past year and a half or 2 years. He's like, your big opportunity is coming. And I went with a friend of mine to walk on Big Brother audition. I had no idea what the show was.
Mm-hmm.
She liked the show. She knew I did like commercials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, come with me. You'd make me feel better.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the show was. And I went with her. And that's how I got on Big Brother.
Oh, so you like went with her to just like...
have beers on a Saturday afternoon.
And then they ended up liking you.
Yes.
No way. Yeah.
I remember they're like... I'm like, what do I say? And they're like, say you like Dan. Dan's like the man, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, and now I know Dan, and he is the man.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't know him. So I'm like, oh, Dan, he, you know, he's into football. He's great. He's like my idol. And they're like, oh, okay. So they flew me to L.A. So like, tell us more about what you like about Dan. I'm like, honestly, I don't even know who Dan is. I'm like, I just made it up. But, so maybe
I'm
going to be completely honest with you guys. I'm sorry I wasted your time. But they just kept, you know, bringing me back. So... and then I found out who Dan was. But I was right. She was right on. She was right on with that. But I got that. And then the transition into CBS was when after we got off the show, we did Amazing Race. And then I went back to work after that. And someone called me, Alex Boylan, I don't know if you guys know, with Around the World for Free. He won season one season two of Amazing Race.
Okay.
So he called me when I was at work. He's like, hey, I got this show called Around the World for Free. Someone at CBS mentioned your name. It's going to be perfect. And I was like, what? And me and my buddies always used to crank each other. I'm like, this isn't real. And I hung up on him.
No way.
Yeah. And then he called me back. He's like, this is real. He's like, I want you to do this show. You travel around the world for 100 days with no money in your pocket. I was
that
like,
sounds
holy
awesome.
Cow. So
wow.
That was for CBS Interactive. So I did that show. And then I got called back to do, we got called back to do Amazing, our Big Brother 13. Then after that, they're like, why don't you start working and doing interviews? We want to bring that show back. So, and that's kind of how the whole thing started from there.
That's
dang. So once you got in, like started with them, they kept you busy every single
year. Yeah, so
year.
I did Around the World for Free. Then we did Big Brother again. And then we did. Then we decided to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we did a show, Jeff and Jordan Do America for CBS.com.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I just started working with CBS. They just kept building shows like around us, and then I just kept doing the interviews.
That's every crazy.
Year. So I worked there for five or six years.
So, that was a long time ago.
What did you do when he like did the Around the World show? Did you go with him?
No, I was in North Carolina. We did long distance for what? 2 years.
Yeah,
3 years?
You were. I mean, you were on the show. I left from Charlotte.
He left from Charlotte, and then I worked at the hair salon, and then
that's where your mom lives, and you guys are super close. So,
yes, yeah. So my mom and brother live in the house that I got them, and but my sister and my dad, everybody's there, and then you left for Around the World for Free, and I just worked, and we just kept in touch. We'd call each other and talk.
I'd call her from like Cambodia, and it's like 9 a.m. She's like, "It's 2 a.m. What are you calling me for?"
Yeah. Or he was. I think one day you were climbing Mount Fuji, and I was like trying to have a conversation. He goes, "I'm climbing Mount Fuji," and I go, "Okay, I don't care." So, and then I was just like keep asking him questions, and then he's like, "I gotta go." And
well, no,
just,
it like, was a great ad because AT&T was our sponsor, and I'm on Mount Fuji like halfway up, and the phone worked. So it's such a great ad for AT&T, and I'm like, Jordan, I'm on Mount Fuji. And I'm like, the phone works, and Jordan's like, "I don't care." And I'm like, "What do you mean you don't care?"
I was lucky enough though at that time, my two office managers at the hair salon, they were so nice. They were like my moms, and they would always. If anything, you know, like Big Brother 13, they're like, go. Or if
that's
something
nice.
Came up, they'd be like, you always have a job here.
Yeah.
Even still to this day.
That's awesome.
My owner, Eric, he always tells me, he goes, if you ever come home, you have a job here.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for them when I was 20. And then, because I did the same with him. I didn't know what Big Brother was. And
did they recruit you?
No. I was working. So I was working three jobs. I worked.
Yes, they recruited you.
Well, yeah.
They
yeah,
like
they
spotted
did.
You or whatever?
Yeah, Bonnie found me at I was working, and then she told me to show up at this bar.
So you were just at the salon doing
No, whatever. I was actually at my other job. I was waitressing.
Oh.
And she just approached me and was like, have you ever thought about doing reality television? Mm-hmm. I was like, no. She was like, do you have an email? I was like, no. And, so she called me.
Isn't that crazy?
And wanted me to meet her at Cannes. And yeah. So I called my friend. I was like, you have to make me an email. How do you do that? Oh. And so I didn't show up at Cannes. Mm-hmm. But I told my managers I went because I just wanted to sleep. So I went home and I slept. And then it was like a couple days later and Bonnie's like, I haven't found anybody. Will you please show up at the Hilton in downtown Charlotte?
So you basically skipped to the next thing.
So then I go to the Hilton and I had my brother drive me. We're fighting and we can't find the Hilton. I was like, I don't know where this is. And I was like, this is probably fake. And I feel so stupid. And I remember I go in and all the girls were wearing, I don't know if this was the same for y'all, were in like these super tight dresses like they were going out to a club. I show up in a pullover hoodie, camo jeans. They were jeans but camo in the back and these flip-flops, and Bonnie sent me a picture. Not to, this is a couple years ago, oh, and he goes, oh my God, look what I found. And I had no headshots. And so I had to stand up against a white wall, and they had to take my picture. And then the same thing. They just kept calling me and calling me.
What did your mom say to do?
Oh, my mom's like, if you go and it's not legit, like, you run. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, Mom, if I got in a hotel room. My mom was against doing Big Brother the whole time.
Oh, really?
And was like, I don't want you on a reality show. You better not embarrass the family. Mm-hmm. My grandparents and my aunt, they told no one until a couple episodes in because they wanted to see. Because I guess I'm normally, like, unfiltered. I say kind of like whatever, and my whole family was scared that I would say something and embarrass everyone.
It's bound to happen on Big Brother, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a everybody. Long time.
But I do remember the first week of Big Brother, I remember being like, I want to get evicted. I want to go home. Like, I don't like this. And I remember Allison, who's the executive producer of the show, I remember I'm on the lot, we're about to go in the house, and I go, well, where's the house? She goes, it's right there. And I'm like, we're not going to a house. I thought we were in a like a mansion up in the hills somewhere. Right. And she was like, no, Jordan, it's on the lot.
To be honest with you, so did I.
Yeah,
I had no idea it was on the lot. I'm like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. The house is here? So, and you know, being around now for so many years, a lot of people say that. They're like, the house isn't on, like, it isn't a house. Yeah. I'm like, no, it's contained on the lot.
It's like a studio made into a
house. But it's a house, but it's a studio.
Right.
But weren't y'all, when you walked in, I remember, just because I never was on camera before, how bright it was because all the lighting and the cameras. I remember instantly feeling like, I don't want
to
do this.
I wanted to go home too at first.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't talk to anyone. I was so scared. I didn't want to be the first one evicted. So, I mean, I wanted to go home, but I didn't want to be evicted. Right. And then I remember Sean. You guys had Sean too.
Sean. Yeah.
She's like, Nicole, are you okay? During the backyard pictures. I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay, you can talk. Like,
oh, I hate those backyard pictures.
And that's when everyone's in like their slinky bikinis. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so insecure
For the first time.
Yeah. I wore a tankini.
I'm scared. Like this was, I don't know.
It is intimidating because you don't know anybody. So you want to be goofy.
Yeah.
Like remember they like run and jump and take a picture. Yeah. So you're being like goofy, but it's the first time you're kind of introducing yourself to the whole crew. Yeah. So it gets real, real fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
In a week.
Yeah,
I mean, the first day people are like already talking game, and then in a week it's exploded. At least our season did.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you guys. Anybody that's listening right now that has something blocking your happiness, or has something that's been bugging you, or in your head, something that you need to talk to somebody about, they have this place or this site. It's called BetterHelp. What it is, it's an online platform that'll connect you to counselors that are in all 50 states that have over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists, and you can talk with them about anything, and it's private. It could be from depression to stress and anxiety to relationships, grief, or even self-esteem. They're available worldwide. They got 4 communication modes. You can text, chat, phone, and video, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. They have a broad expertise in the network, which may not be typically locally available in your area. They also have financial aid for those who qualify. It's secure, convenient, professional, and affordable. Best of all, it's truly affordable if you use the for these Coco Caliente listeners right now. So you can get 10% off your first month with discount code COCO, C-O-C-O. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/COCO.
The second time was, like you said, Jordan, for me, the second time I cried a lot. Like, it was a different feeling.
It is.
And I think it was because, like, I was so comfortable my first time around. Mm-hmm. And then I went back in the house and I'm like, look, at least you had Jeff. But I'm like looking around the house. I'm like, I don't know anybody.
Right.
And this isn't familiar to me. And what did I get myself into again?
And like, it's a totally different, just dynamic, mm-hmm. and different group. Because you think, oh, yeah. Wait, your first time, what season was that?
16.
So season 16, you think, oh, it's going to be like season 16.
Yeah, because it was so fun.
Yes, and it's completely different, mm-hmm. the second time. And I think what aggravates me is a lot of people are like, I could win that show. Yeah. I can do that. I can do this. Yeah. And you're just like, it's a lot harder. Same thing with Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. People are like, I can do that. You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. Like, people will write me that. And I'm like, you go on the show and see what it's like. It's hard. Big Brother is mentally draining.
And it takes so much out of you. Like, even if I go back, like I went back last season just to do like the final thing, you know? Being outside those doors, my heart start getting this weird feeling that you can't explain. I'm like, holy cow, man. Like, I'm getting real nervous for no reason. I'm on TV every day. But something about that house brings something out of you because you're in there 24-7 and it's such a stress.
Your mind
is people have no idea what it's like unless you're in it and then you have that relationship to talk about it.
Did you, when you got off Big Brother, were you like, I did this for a while. My family would be like talking together and be like, are they talking about me? What are they saying about me? My mind instantly kind of went like that.
Kind of more like paranoid type.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like paranoid, like I was in the house. And then for the longest time, I'd wake up and then I'd be like, oh my gosh, where's my mic pack?
Microphone.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, but you guys, how long were you in? I was only 72 days. Weren't y'all 100?
99.
She was 99. I was there like 95, 96, something like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know, it's... I think after you're never the same, even though my mom did the best to, like, she told Victor this yesterday, like, I just took her home, made her be exactly who she was before. Like, I didn't let anything go to her head. I didn't let her, like, go crazy, whatever. But it's like, you never really are the same because something changes in you as far as, like, you're paranoid for 99 days. Everyone's working against you. You get voted out, like... The public's judging you for 99 days, so it changes you in a weird way.
But see, when we were on the first time, there was no Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to talk to you guys about.
Yeah, how?
Because that's, like going
that's gotta
on
be awesome.
Then and then going on now are two completely different realities.
Completely. I mean... Facebook was around, but I didn't have a Facebook then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't have...
I wouldn't expect you to if you didn't have an email.
No. I didn't have any... Ooh, they're talking about Instagram now, like with Big Brother. It's a totally different... Like,
I didn't even have... I didn't even have Twitter.
I didn't have Twitter when I went on the first time either. Because they're like, do you have a Twitter? I was like, no. And I kind of wish I didn't now. It's just a terrible place.
I got rid of my Twitter, if people don't know. And it's the Coco Caliente Twitter now because it's such a toxic place where if you try to be happy, you know, it's like, let me shoot you down real fast.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I think with Instagram now, it's just constantly, you're like, I don't know, for me, I'll say, like, being a mom, you see other people and you see pictures and you're like, why do they make parenting look so easy? I'm having the worst day. Like, my kids are being terrible. And then you're comparing what you're doing or how is, she seems like she gets all these breaks and I'm constantly with my kids. And then you're like, you almost feel stressed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you start comparing, and that's something you should never do.
Yeah. Right.
But it's so
you
hard.
Don't know what's even going on in their life. But if they make it look perfect, you're assuming it's perfect. But I feel like with you, you're been everyone's favorite forever because you're so real, relatable, and you're like honest. And I love watching your stuff on Instagram. You know,
I try to be, but I feel like now because it's 10 years ago and I'm getting older, I feel like people aren't really interested. I feel like I get more negative stuff now. I don't get mad about the attacks on me. It's when they attack my kids.
Yeah.
That's when I get mad.
And that's unwarranted.
But What was I going to say? Oh, I posted a picture the other day on Instagram, and it was one, our friend Louie was taking photos of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the picture, you would think I was happy, and, you know, the picture's filtered, and, you know, you look better than normal, but everything was filtered in the photo. But I was having the absolute worst day, because after I had Lawson, I had, like, the worst postpartum depression. And I was, like, so dark. And, with him, and it took me, what, 6 months? And I had to get on medication. Mm-hmm. I've never been on medication in my life. I don't like take medication. And I remember just, I mean, I was like suicidal. Like that's how bad my postpartum depression was. And I never was suicidal in my life. Wow. So for 2 months, I didn't tell anyone that I had it.
Yeah.
And I was trying to fight it. So every time I go see my doctor, she's like, how are you doing? Because you have to do these tests after you have the baby to make sure like you're okay. Mm-hmm. And it was so exhausting because I would always put on this front. Like, everything's great. Yeah. Me and Jeff are great. Mm-hmm. The kid's good. And then we were away. It was like Christmas time. And fighting like crazy because he just thought I didn't want to be married anymore. Mm-hmm. He thought I didn't want to have kids and all that stuff. And he's like, what is going on? We're like in this huge fight. We didn't talk the whole time, like going to my grandparents' house, driving there.
Yeah.
And it was, well, I'll be very vague about it because I don't want to air out her business.
Yeah, no, you're
but
good.
Someone that I've known since I was little, came up to me randomly. And I think this is like kind of what made me come out. And she goes, hey, I just want to let you know, if you get postpartum, she goes, whenever I had postpartum, it wasn't popular to talk about. Nobody said it. You kept it to yourself. And she was like, I had it for 2 years. And she goes, I wanted to kill myself and kill my kids, like in the car driving. Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling me that. And I remember just getting like, my eyes getting watery, and I wanted to be like, I feel the same way you do. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to kill Lawson, but I was like by myself. Yeah. I always wanted, like, I would get in the car and be like, I just want to kill myself right now. That's how I felt.
Wow.
Which I, like I said, I never had those thoughts before, but I didn't want to go to a therapist because I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And you know, you don't know how to deal with that. So I remember I just wanted to say something and I was like, I can't tell her how I feel. And
you didn't tell your mom either?
I didn't tell anybody. I kept it to myself. And I think that's what ate me alive.
Yeah.
And after, when I got better, I remember people being like, you were weird. And I was like, really?
Well, you told me, remember we were in Chicago.
We were in this.
I still remember it because it was really, you know, we talk about it so much. Otherwise, I get emotional about it because I was like, I almost raised Lawson those first couple months. She wouldn't get up. She wanted no part of him. And I was getting up
doing
those late night feedings and stuff.
And I didn't want to do the YouTube. I'd get mad. Like if Louie came over and like, he would be like, come on, we got to do YouTube. And I'd be like, hey, Jeff and Jordan, we're back. And he'd be like, Jordan, need more energy. I need more of this. And I just would just, I think that's why Lawson is better with Jeff. Because him and I made Jeff do the skin to skin. So after you have the baby, normally the mom instantly does skin to skin.
So they, it was instantly.
And they put Lawson on me and I go, get him off me. And Jeff had to take
she had a C-section at that time.
I was
and
out
she
of
had,
it.
The drugs were, whatever they gave her was making her sick. Yeah. So she threw up. So I don't know if that was part of the postpartum. It may have been.
I don't know.
I didn't know what was going on either. No, I thought this was parenthood. I don't know.
That's
you know what
tough
I mean?
Like, on YouTube.
Right. So
not
I'm like,
understanding.
Maybe it's the C-section. I definitely knew something was wrong. And I'd tell my friends, like, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm basically raising this kid. And then it finally came to like a boiling point where we were at home for Christmas. I remember we were at our
local
mall, Harlem Irving Plaza. I remember it was a great day. It was snowy out. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, do you want a divorce? What's going on? It's Christmas. I can't, why are you been acting like this? And she just started crying. She's like, I want to kill myself.
Oh, wow.
And like, I remember instantly we were going to go shopping. I'm like, this all makes sense. It like clicked like a button. I'm like, okay, so what's going on? What are you feeling? Then she just opened up and told me everything. We're calling a doctor right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you on medication. This all that matters is you and my family, and we're going to get this solved right now.
Yeah.
And the but moment she opened up, I know you were scared too, but the moment she did, we took care of it, and everything and was fine. Not to make it so black and white, and it just was an easy skip down the road. It was hard, but when you finally did open up, it, I mean, it
made sense.
Well, it and it helps and everybody hard. Understand, right? Right? You're not just in the dark and like, what the heck is going on? You know what I mean? It just like,
yeah.
But it's Christmas time and I'm like mad. Mm-hmm. And I'm at Jeff's parents' house and all I want to do is go in their basement. Like everyone talking. Because when you have postpartum, you want to isolate yourself. Yeah. You want to be in the dark. You want to be by yourself. And I remember getting mad and just being like, just don't talk to me. No one talk to me. I don't want to be around any of you. I remember going upstairs and his friend came over and like his brother and everybody were there. And I remember just going upstairs and just sitting like folding laundry because I just did not want to be around any of them. Mm-hmm. And then I remember his dad came up and was just like, hey, they're about to leave. And I remember getting so mad that he came up to tell me somebody was leaving because I didn't care to see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just, it was so weird like that.
What I'm saying, like trying to explain that because one of my coworkers, we'll get into like all that later. But she went through the same thing, and Jordan kind of helped her along the way. So if anyone's listening, even if there's one person listening, kind of like, wow, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, and it was kind of taboo to talk about it. But it, just talking about it.
I didn't think
it
was a real thing. I was like, it's fake. People are just being dramatic. And when it happens to you, it's just like, wow, like that's what it feels like. And then it's just like you feel like you're in the deepest depression you've ever felt in your life, and you can't, there's no way out. That's how you feel. It's the craziest thing.
What I'm trying to say is tell somebody. If you're feeling that way, tell somebody, talk about it. It's not, it's very much more common than you think it is.
Yeah.
And tell somebody, and that's the best way to get it fixed. Because once you're on that medication, you wean your way off and everything's fine, but then you start realizing why you thought that. So if you feel that way, please talk to somebody about that.
But I think if it wasn't for that person that came to you,
just so just one person saying something, like you saying something now, could help a lot of people.
Yeah, because what she was saying, I was like, that's how I feel. And it was relatable. And then, because I couldn't tell my mom because she always worried about me living in California. Yeah. So I go, if I do that, like my mom's going to freak out. Yeah. So my mom stresses anyway. So I didn't want to cause any, I didn't want to be a burden on anyone.
That's a lot for you to carry too by yourself. So it's like.
It was. It was a really, it was the roughest time we've ever been through, but understandably.
And then he worked with me. And then, like I said, I got on a low dosage. I was like, I don't want to be on a high dosage.
Right. So where you're not yourself.
Right. And I go, I just want to take that anxiety, that edge off. And like I said, I went to her one day. It was, I think, in June. And I go, hey, I was like, listen, I don't think I need medicine anymore. I don't feel like suicidal. I don't feel what I felt. And I go, I think I'm fine. She goes, okay, well, when you off and I've been normal. And then when I had Leighton, I was worried, like, oh God. And because they said a lot of times it'll come back. Nothing.
That's awesome.
No problems.
And so another thing with, I don't know why, just because we talk about it so much on our own show, like you got to wean yourself off of that. You can't stop because it might cause some other problems. So definitely talk to your doctor. And our doctor was so cool. Remember how cool our doctor was? Yeah. She's like, listen, this is so common. You guys, you guys don't understand. You're going to take this. You guys are going to be fine. And the way she was explaining it or talking was like, guys, don't worry about this. You know what I mean? Like, go home, be a family, take care of your kids. That's what's important. This is going to take care of itself.
Right.
I understand it is a problem. You guys got to get through this. But the way she was explaining was not like a death sentence. You know, it's like, guys, this is so common. You guys are going to be fine, you know?
You know what's crazy? When I think of stuff like that, I start going into a rabbit hole. And it's like, imagine what people back in like 1800, you know, and like this is a normal thing now that we know science, but back then it's like, okay, psych ward, wrap her up, throwing her in an asylum.
100%.
And it's like, what? But now it's great that people have the conversations and people get help and then you can live a normal life. It passes and you're good.
Right. And it's anything. I mean, not just postpartum, it's mental health.
Everything.
You know, there's a lot of things that I didn't know growing up that we didn't even talk about, you know, like even as a man or in my family. And now I'm opened up to so many different things in so many different situations and so many different people's problems that it's so common, but a lot of people don't talk about it. So you feel weird trying to get your emotions out, you know?
No, I completely understand. I mean, I have bad anxiety.
Yeah. And that's
I have panic attacks and they've been worse for a little bit, but now I've been good. But I mean, it's something that like Victor doesn't understand. Cause he's just like, you have a perfect life. Like, what are you worried about? I'm like, I can't help it.
Yeah.
Like I just get where I feel like I want to crawl out of my skin and I'll be like pull over the car when we're going like 70 miles an hour. And it's like, if you're not like it doesn't happen to him, so he tries to.
I really do my best. He does his best. You know, I wish I could feel it.
Right.
Right.
I wish I could feel it so I can know how to better help. But sometimes when I think I'm helping, I'm actually hurting the situation. Like what she said, like, wait, your life is great. Like,
I know, we have everything
ahead of us. It's all good. And then if anything, that makes you feel worse because then what's really wrong?
Right. I don't know.
It snowballs, but I don't know. We work through it.
It's happened to us too with the anxiety thing. And it was hard for us to kind of get through, but
yeah, it's a whole lot better now.
Yeah. But you guys seem like you're the perfect match. Like,
well, we're just complete opposites. Are you guys opposites?
Yes.
Okay. For sure. Cause we're like complete opposites.
I mean, you guys are looking in a mirror. Like I'm Victor, honestly. And then you're Nicole. You guys are the same person.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause you guys are even wearing like the same colors and we're in blue.
It is. It's true.
Yeah. But when I watch you like during Big Brother, I watched you on The Amazing Race. Like I'm continuing to watch you on Amazing Race. You just reminds me so much of Jordan. Yeah. I mean,
that's the best compliment.
You're very smart.
I don't have a lot of common sense though. You'll see, like on the show, I make some. I don't know.
No, mistakes. You're smart. It's
you're
hard.
Very smart. We complement each other very well.
Yes, you
but
do.
For you guys, for on the race, yes. How was that for you guys?
That was a good transition.
She's getting good. She's getting good.
There you go.
The race, okay. It was very hard. I feel like the race, if we were on it, let's say now.
Mm-hmm.
Completely different. I didn't even really know Jeff. I only knew Big Brother Jeff.
Right.
So we did not communicate at all. I wanted to break up with him after Amazing Race. That's how mad I was.
And I wanted to break her neck during the Amazing Race. Yeah. I'm kidding.
I was just, we did not work together at all.
But we kind of went through like a roller coaster because at the end we were cool.
Yeah.
But... You know, it's but hard. During it,
it's hard.
Yeah, I'm gonna explain why. So, Amazing Race was totally my fault. You know, like things that we've got wrong or the challenge that we chose. I'm so competitive. I'm like, I lost Big Brother. I'm winning this.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm definitely winning this. Mode. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, we're all in on this. So I'm like, even if we're not the smartest team, which definitely we weren't, we're gonna be the hardest working team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have all brothers. I have two older brothers. All my cousins are boys. Everyone in my family are men. So me and my friends, I grew up being rough, playing football, all that. So when I'm like, hey, come here. Oh, hey, stupid, it's this way. You know what I mean? I'm talking to my friend. I'm talking to my brother. Not trying to insult anybody. Yeah, but I'm like, what are you, stupid? It's this way. And she's like, I'm not stupid. And I have to like stop. I'm like, oh, my God, you're not my friend. Yeah. You're my girlfriend. And I need to be a little bit more delicate. So in those situations, I totally get why she was frustrated because it was me being too aggressive with her. And I think that was a good testament to our relationship being so early that I was so aggressive in that way that I needed to really calm things down, like just as a man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
For our relationship to work. And by the time we got to the end of Amazing Race, we had a long talk and I realized that I was wrong, you know, and I definitely took the $1 million bullet for that one. But but she was right in that situation and I adjusted it and I continue. I still struggle with some of my aggression and anger, but it's something I work on and I feel like I'm a lot better than 10 years ago.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's a completely different person. And he's so good like with the kids and you're totally different. You're more about your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We did what am I gonna say about Amazing Race? Oh, what I was gonna say about Amazing Race is what people don't get is we got into a bad cab. In Germany.
Bad cab can ruin it. He took us
an hour out of the way and we told him, I was like, are you sure you know where we're going? And he got an attitude with us. We end up in a neighborhood in Germany somewhere, which they don't show all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had to turn around and go back and pay for that cab. So we had to give him money.
He gave it to us for free because you want to talk about aggression? They didn't air a lot of that. The city lights just kept getting smaller behind us. I'm like, you are going the wrong way. And Jordan's like, take it easy. I'm like, you're going the wrong way. And he stops at this hut in the middle of Germany, nowhere.
Dark.
And
it
then
was
he
so
drops,
dark.
Drives us all the way back to the city. And he's like, you don't have to pay. I'm like, you think? I'm like, you have to pay me $1 million.
I think we did because I remember that leg. We ran out of our money because they only give you a certain amount of money for that leg.
Yeah.
So we had no more money.
Well, we also told someone to go get us like a sandwich.
No, it was a boot of beer. We had a boot of beer you had to chug.
No, but remember before that, someone went to go get our tickets and we didn't know like the exchange. And I think we gave them all of our money. Remember? Because we came out of that with no money, and everyone else had like $100.
Yeah, that.
Oh my gosh.
Well, our exchange was wrong.
All I remember is us being in a bar, and these older men that were so nice, they gave us money to get in a cab and go where we needed to go.
That's after we chugged that beer at that bar.
So is that the leg that you guys got out, or
no.
It was a non-elimination.
Oh, you lucky!
But it was we were so far behind. Mm-hmm. The only way that we would catch up is if there was a plane, like we would meet at a plane.
An equal. Equalizer,
yes. Or there was somewhere where it opened at a certain time. But we were probably, an hour, 2 hours behind everything.
We
there
were
was
way
no way.
Behind. And we did two or three more legs with that distance. I'm like, if this next one's not, if this is the next one's not like
out.
An equalizer, we're done. And it wasn't. And we were way, actually, we almost came back, but we were way out.
I remember we pulled up at a vineyard
in France
and we saw a team. And I was like, there's still a chance because you know how you get down. And then it was bad. It was bad. I like popped a squat in the vineyard because we were out there for so long. We had to find these grapes.
I had to have them pull over one time. I was in a cab. I'm like, I'm peeing on the side of the road. Pull. That was a similar leg to that. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Was
like,
yeah, it was a great experience, and I know you guys know the same thing now. Yeah. So it was such a great experience, but it was the beginning of our relationship.
Yeah.
And again, I still watch. Don't think I don't yell at the TV like, "Oh my god!" But I could have done better. So I'm still a little bitter every time I watch Big Brother.
He's
or those
bitter
shows.
With all those shows because he like I just want to win. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, get over it. You're never gonna win. So
because I hear it every day. Oh, this is Jeff. He was on Big Brother. He didn't win. His wife won. I'm like, that was a great introduction. They don't even watch Big Brother, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the shadow.
Right.
And Nicole, the winner of Big Brother.
Actually, I want to hear that story. What happened? Yes. How did you get the call? How did you guys find out?
So we were in Florida on spring break, and we just got a random call from somebody that nobody from Big Brother or anything.
No.
And they're just like, hey, this is like CBS. Are you interested in doing the race? And we're like, yeah. And we got all excited thinking like, oh yeah, for sure. We'll be on. And then we got a call like maybe 2 months later, like, hey, you're alternates. And we're
like,
just
no.
like, oh, like this is devastating.
What? I don't even want to go through the process no more.
Just like being brats. And then they still flew us out, got us all our shots and stuff. And we were just kind of like,
this kind of sucks, you know.
He had to take work off, and then 4 days out, they're like, hey, you're in. We didn't exercise. We didn't.
You thought you were out.
We, like, didn't even.
No diet was done.
No.
No miles were
ran. We didn't
ran.
Have, like, a backpack even. We had to go 4 days. We drove, like, 2 hours to an REI store and had to buy everything.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you're Team Purple. We're like, holy crap.
Awesome, though.
Yeah,
right?
Like, what a great call to get 4 days out because we're just like, yes, like, we want this.
And
but
we're like, there was no, I mean, you get so close down to the wire to knowing when, you know, they're going to go.
Right.
Just like, it's 4 days. No way are they going to give us a call now. That's it. Let's just pretend like they never called. You know what I mean?
Like, this can't be
it's
real.
Hard though, right? It's hard.
Yeah.
I was just kind of disappointed because I would have ran. Because running with a backpack is very hard. And I would have like practiced on the treadmill or something. Or not packed a backpack at all.
Well, yeah, quite honestly. I don't know how you guys did your...
They each had a backpack, right?
You each had a bag?
Yeah, so we each had a backpack, but then after like the first leg, we won the first leg, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pat ourselves on the
back. What place did you guys get total?
That we went it like halfway.
Oh, okay,
I think
that's
like
good.
Seventh or something.
Okay.
Out of fourth. So we made it halfway. But so I ditched all my stuff, like the first leg, and I just ended up carrying hers because I'm like, we're going too slow. So I threw everything away except for like a change of clothes.
Because so
I brought too much stuff.
Yeah.
I brought too much. I'm used to like camping with my dad.
Yeah.
So I brought like all this stupid stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to use any of this. And I just threw it away.
A little Coleman grill. And
We started to throw things away like along the way, but we didn't throw it. Any, did they have you where you had to wear like long sleeve in some country or bring like long sleeve, long pants?
Yeah, because you never know where you're going.
Right,
so you have to hold on to
so
that.
So like
stuff.
That's all we like held on to after was just stuff that we thought we would need, maybe need. But
right.
I mean, I had brought a curling iron. I threw that crap out. I'm like, okay, I'm like one of the least high maintenance girls on the cast.
Let's clarify this because it wasn't that she was like, I'm going to throw my curling iron away.
It was
that's
hard for me to throw
my
away.
Decision.
I didn't even
I
use
said,
it though. Like, look at my hair. It's like
so hard.
I said it's in my bag.
and it weighs too much, and I'm not holding this anymore, so it's going to get tossed. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, I get it.
It was, like, sentimental because it was my mom's. And I was like, I gave it to a woman. I was like, this was my mom's, like, taking care of it.
You could have left it, like, at the hotel and then asked them to mail it after the race. Mm.
That would have been smart. I got rid of it in an airport.
I had to carry all your makeup, I remember.
Uh-huh. And you don't even... You just wear, like, mascara.
See, yeah, I
and
didn't...
And then it's smeared under your eyes.
Yeah, I wish I would have... All So now there's lash extensions. And I think everyone but me and Becca had lash extensions, and they all look really good. And I'm like, crap. Like, I didn't even think about bringing,
you
like...
You look good.
No, I didn't think about bringing that stuff because I was like... No one's worried about that.
I know. I left my lash.
And then
extension.
Now when I watch this show, I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, like.
But you're
it's
racing.
Something you think about. Yes. I go when I'm very competitive. I'm like, I don't care. And then you have to watch it back a year later. You're like, I do care. Like, crap. Anyways. Yeah.
How did you guys get, along with all the teams on the race? I know we're still in the middle of it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say for the most part.
I mean,
it seems like everybody does.
Yeah, we got, it was like an instant connection, I'd say, with like Brittany. I really like Brittany. Mm-hmm. And Janelle. Like, we pretty much, we got pretty
close
with
them.
We
vibe with them a lot.
Brett and Chris from Survivor.
You know Brett and Chris?
Yeah. They're funny.
They're hilarious.
Yeah.
Boston.
Yeah. He cracks me up.
What about the team? They seem so happy.
Fun.
Team Fun.
They're great, too. We're going to meet with them here.
They live here.
Oh, yeah. Really? Tell we said hi. We never met them. But yeah, I didn't know who... I actually remember them from the race because it's their second time doing it.
Yeah.
But their attitude after
so
Rachel and her sister, U-turn.
First of all,
this is how like competitive I get. I'm like, you're going to U-turn somebody and burn that bridge. What are you U-turning that team
like
for?
Like a good team U-turn for? That, or what do you mean? Like a nice team?
Afghanimals? They were behind them at the time. I'm like, U-turn them if you're going to U-turn somebody. And U-turn like a weak team.
Yeah.
And they had such a great attitude through it.
They did.
And I was like, oh, I like that team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They took it like champs.
And they just always, I don't know how they can be so freaking happy because my face
goofy.
Is always like serious. Mm-hmm. Like, don't screw off. Otherwise, we're going to lose.
Oh, anytime. Even in a taxi, right, and feel confident that we're going the right way, Nicole's just like, check it again, check the map, tell him, make sure.
Right.
Or if there's a moment where we can't do anything because we have to do this one thing, and
you know what happened, though, is I'm sitting around watching people who have previously raced, and I'm watching what they're doing, and they're looking crap up all the time. So if they're looking crap up, I got to look stuff up.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm already behind. So I think that put a lot of pressure on us because normally we'd all be like, we don't know what we're doing. But they knew what they were doing, and like anytime we got to an airport, they'd find like an Apple store, and they would Google everything on the clue. I'm like, let's Google everything on the clue. And it became,
these are the major cities, and this is this. And
it
this
became
is your-
so... And like, Brittany made a good point, too, before where it's like it's Big Brother people and Survivor, which are social games. So people are playing Big Brother and Survivor within the race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're paranoid because those teams are talking.
They're at an advantage big time.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because imagine if you could go back and do it again. Don't you think you'd be way better?
I would know even what to pass.
Exactly. So that's how we think. So when I watch it, then there's teams. Rachel did it three. There's a couple people
who did it
three times.
Wow.
That's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
So I know, like, I could see how you get frustrated just watching you guys. I'm like, because I get frustrated at home watching. You know?
I mean, the fact that we got, back-to-back seconds, I was completely flabbergasted, you know, at ourselves that we were able to do that.
Yeah, like with the race teams right off the bat.
I was like, okay, we're there.
It's him. He's really good. Like, he's a good partner.
No, you both are good.
Yeah,
but
you guys
he's,
are cool.
It,
you guys,
he's just like... I feel like the girl teams, it'd be hard. Like, I can't imagine not having someone strong, like physically strong to like, what did we do so far?
He's also very calm, too.
Well, that's what I told Jeff. I said,
he's calm.
Victor and Nicole are going to do really good, I said, because they remind me a lot, like Cody and Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Cody never got flustered.
Right.
And you seem so calm, like never get flustered. And I go, and Jessica's smart, too, and you're smart. And I go, they'll figure it out. Like, y'all are good together. I was like, they're going to do good teamwork together.
Yeah.
Who do you think? I mean, you want to keep going Amazing Race because I was going to transition.
Yeah, sure.
Who do you think is going to be the first person
to
do all three? Why'd you make that look? Because did you get called?
No.
Did she make a face right now?
No, because we like...
Detail what her face looked like.
It was just like a grin. You know, like when the Grinch on Christmas comes out? It was like that grin.
No, I don't think I could do Survivor because I do really... They wouldn't ask anyways, but I think like Vic could be good at it. I don't even know if they'd ever do the trifecta thing. But that'd be
somebody's
really
gonna,
cool. Because you know,
I could see Victor doing it for sure.
You know what? As much as I think I would do great and I would love it, I think Nicole would be TV gold to be.
See, he like says when he did like
an island like that.
Like when he did the karaoke last episode, he's like, if you would have done that, would have been TV gold because I would have just been like, Schmeet.
What?
Like,
how
what
do you
is
even
going on?
Because
I'm so bad at pronouncing things. But it's like, we don't have time for TV gold people. We're trying to win $1 million.
Right.
You know?
I think Amazing Race is a lot harder now, like the stuff they make y'all do, than
that last leg looked really hard.
It was.
Really hard. Especially like some teams had to catch those shrimp, so you never know.
Yeah.
And then go sing that song, which I was like, How long did it take you to learn that?
You know what?
Fast.
I have a weird thing that I like to do when it's learn lyrics, right? And so memorizing things is fast. And then the fact that I kind of, you know, I speak Spanish, my first language. So like sounding out other stuff, it was a little bit easier. But it was just me and Colin in the room. So I'd say like a solid 15, 20 minutes,
okay.
I felt comfortable. And then Eliza came in and she was yelling and stuff.
Right.
And so when we had three people in the room, I was like, all right, I mean, I can't even focus anymore. I just got to go for it.
And who do you think will be the first one? Because now that I think about it, they could put Survivor people on Big Brother and they could be the first ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People from this last Survivor thing. I don't know.
Oh, Survivor. I could
would
never
you,
do.
Would you? Yeah.
The bugs.
And like, I
would just lay out by the beach. I'm serious. I would not game.
And I don't think I could. Hey, but that would be good if we're not gaming because I think the cameras like follow you around and then they see them follow you around and then you're suspicious. So
like their map tells them to find the clue or something. I'm always like, who never find that?
Somebody even told me that like on Survivor, if you're walking looking for an idol and you're getting close, camera just
because
they gotta get the shot when you're gonna
exactly.
You're digging it up or you finding it, and so they like come and so yeah, that's I mean so I'm just keeping that in the back
I
of my mind.
I'll do Survivor
looking.
If Nicole gets asked and we could just lay out on the
yeah.
beach. We'll play dead.
we'll
I think Survivor
three.
Though you have to. I think that's the thing about Survivor though. You gotta win.
Yeah.
So they might actually have a better shot.
Yeah, but I think, like, you vote the strong people out first. Oh, no, later, because you
want
to win.
You
want
them on
yeah.
your tribe and tell
so they
you.
Vote out the weak links.
So we can't play dead.
No.
We'd actually have to try to win.
Yeah, that'd
no,
be
but
tough.
I think me and Jeff would be in the same boat of, like, super disappointed if we didn't. And, like, life crushing.
Did the trifecta and didn't win.
And, like, we finally got another chance at this man. And it's just like, oh, God, don't even talk to
he
me.
He tells
I
me,
deal
he
with
goes,
the
I would... I'd love to go on Survivor, and I'm like, no, I like you having a career and a job, so stick with what you got.
Yeah,
but you get paid so much on Survivor.
Do you?
Like, you win $1 million, and then they make, like, the most out of any of
yeah.
the shows.
Wow. They do, from what
like
I understand.
Like, a ton.
At least 10 grand for just the finale.
Just to show up at finale.
Just to show up at finale.
But then I think...
Well, maybe I will take a little trip. No, I don't think they'd ask me because I don't know. I don't even know the rules. Like, if you work for CBS, I don't know if you could be on the shows anymore.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can ever be
so
on
I don't think...
Anymore.
I mean, it's not going to be me, but I'm just... Someone's eventually going to make that crossover.
Yeah, it's going to be cool whoever does it. That's,
yeah.
like, a huge accomplishment,
yeah.
I feel like.
That's
yeah.
just crazy.
Wait, so Jordan has an appointment in 8 minutes, so we got to wrap up. Let's... What do you want to talk about your job now or anything?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, yeah. How was it from your the CBS Interactive transitioning to your job here in Denver? Like, how did that happen?
No, he's just grabbing
he's
a cup. I was just making sure.
He knows what's up there.
I'm like overprotective.
That's an interesting story, actually. It was actually really interesting. I don't know how much time you have. I'll try to be as fast as I can. I get long-winded like with these inspirational stories. But so I was working for CBS, and I don't want, so I was doing that job, but I was also still auditioning, you know?
Okay.
So my hosting agent was William Morris. I don't mind saying that. And they're like the best agent, you know, you mm-hmm. could get in California. So everyone's like, oh, you're with William Morris? You must be pretty good. They didn't send me out ever. So it's one thing to have an agent that's awesome that never sends you out, or would you rather have an agent that people don't know and sends you out all the time?
Yeah.
So that's like the trick of Hollywood. People mm-hmm. are like, they walk around saying, I'm a model, I'm an agent, this is my agent, whatever. All that doesn't mean anything to me. But the point I'm making is William Morris dropped me. So I'm trying to get a hold of my agent, and then they drop me, and they're like, listen, it's not, you know, we're just not working out. So I'm like, okay, that's fine, whatever. Uh-huh. Then my print or my commercial agent, who I was with for 5 years out there, called me like a week later out of nowhere and goes, listen, we're going to part ways. We're not going to renew your contract.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
We just had Lawson. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where I was going through that, all the whole thing with Jordan, like postpartum. So I'm trying to be the strong one. Yeah. I just got dropped from both of my agents in the same week. And I just had a kid. So Jordan's like, what are we going to do? Is everything okay? Like, are you still working with CBS? I'm like, yeah, you know, that's coming up, but it's not going to pay all of our bills, yeah, you know? Yeah. So I was freaking out. Like, oh my God, I got dropped both my agents. What am I going to do? Yeah. So instead of like curling up in a ball and like crying, like, mm-hmm, what was me? I'm like, I was talking to my buddies. I'm like, I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to get in the gym. I'm going to go to yoga. I'm going to work out twice a day. I have more time now. Mm-hmm. And I lost a ton of weight. I went out and talked to people, got clues on new agents, blah, blah, blah. So I ended up getting a new commercial agent, mm-hmm, went out my first time, my very first audition, and I booked a National Ford ad.
Oh, for them. Wow.
But this was like after a couple months. So, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Of like, yeah, never give up, never quit. That's like, mm-hmm, where the positivity, yeah, comes back in. Booked a National Ford ad, and then I got a new hosting agent who's in the Valley, who I had to pay for my own parking for. I felt like Johnny Drama. You know, I like went in there. Yeah. So second audition I went on, I booked Daily Blast Live, the show, wow, that I'm on now. So it was like all mental. It was all mental, you know, like, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. This isn't the end of my career. I'm going to keep pushing forward. And I could keep going on and on about this story, but that's just like the power of positivity, mm-hmm, in my mind anyway. But so it was a big transition. I got the job and they called me. I remember I was driving down Wilshire. They called me and they're like, welcome to Denver. You got the job. You got to be there in like 3 weeks.
No way.
Just like uprooted.
We FaceTimed. That's how we found this place. We FaceTimed with the realtor. And you know what the other weird thing is? I got to throw this in there too. I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Like I pray all the time. Yeah. Believe in God.
Yeah, me too.
And when he was going, that was like the lowest I've seen him. Mm-hmm. But still keeping up, yeah, the positivity. Because, yeah, I know he was freaking out. Well, I have this. It's a prayer box. Mm-hmm. And it has these little papers and a pencil you can, mm-hmm, write on. And I told Jeff one night, I was like, you write what you want, mm-hmm, I write what I want, and we'll put it in there, and we're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
And later on, this is what, like a year ago, 2 years ago, I tell him, I'm like, in that prayer box, I opened it up and read everything that we wanted to, like, happen. Mm-hmm. And almost everything we wrote down had happened. Aww.
That's awesome.
Isn't that,
yeah,
cool?
That's awesome.
Made your hair stand up.
Yeah, dude. I really believe in that stuff. Yeah. And I, mm-hmm, try to, you know, obviously we slip day to day. I slip day to day. But then in the end, I try to get back to that. But it was a great transition. It was exactly what we needed, mm-hmm, with, you know, raising a child. It's way better, I feel like, in Denver here, uh-huh, to
good
raise
for
a child.
Families.
I never, yeah, thought I'd say I live in Denver. It's crazy. Yeah. But it's the show is exactly what I want. I've learned so much. I'd never even use a teleprompter because I was scared of it before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to memorize everything for Big Brother. Like interviewing you guys, yeah, I never used that prompter. Oh. I'd memorize everything because I didn't want to be scared, like tripping. Now I do prompter every day, mm-hmm, for 3.5 hours a day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's crazy, like the skills that I've picked up doing this job and what I've learned doing network TV. And the job's a dream. My cast, yeah, is a dream. My executive producer is a dream. I mean, I can't be happier with, yeah, my life, honestly. From where I came and then you guys bringing up those old feelings of even starting on Big Brother,
yeah,
and now where I'm at now, it's like, it is. It's a dream. And our family, sounds corny, is a dream too, you know?
No, that's awesome. Great, yeah. I'm happy for you
We're
guys.
We're inspired.
Yeah, we are. We want to, in, I don't know how many years, be looking like you guys.
Well,
you know?
You guys are good people. And, you know, if you keep your head up and, mm-hmm, you know, you have a degree too. I think a lot of people think, this is the best advice I got from my grandpa. This is, mm-hmm, right after Big Brother 11. He goes, one, reality TV is not going to pay your bills. It might pay, right, for it while you're young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you're 40, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, mm-hmm, okay. And then he wrote me a letter after I won Big Brother. And he was like, I just want you to know you are not rich.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to live like you're rich.
Yeah.
And he goes, don't go buy a rich man's car because, mm-hmm, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, buy something that you can afford,
yeah,
the maintenance on. And he goes, just know you have cushion right now.
Yeah.
And he goes, but it's not going to last forever.
Right.
Yeah.
And that being 22, mm-hmm. when you get that, because at first when you get it, you're like, wow, I got this. I mean, the government takes half of it. Yeah. But besides that, I mean, that's really, you need to hear that.
Yeah.
It'd be, and be like, oh, okay, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, that,
like,
that your parents do need, or your grandpa or whoever needs to tell you that. That's what my parents told me right away. And I live as if I didn't win that money. And like, I bought my house, I paid off my student loans, and then that's about it. Like,
sitting in the bank.
So it's just like, I'm going to live like I don't have it.
That's
and,
awesome.
For our kids someday, you know, like.
Well, you guys are on your way. I mean, since I met you guys were both awesome people. The day you walked in the door from Big Brother, watching you guys on the show, you guys were both awesome people. And you could tell you're awesome people on Amazing Race right now. So you guys are totally on your way. If I have one piece of advice, I don't know if this is the business you want to pursue, or if anyone's listening that wants to pursue this business, my number one piece of advice is always be good to work with. Yeah. Always be good. I'm not the most talented guy by any means anywhere on this planet. But I am one of the best and hardest working guys in this business. And I'll lay that down on the line every time. I help everyone break down when we go shoot a piece. I'll break down with the crew. I'll go buy some beers for the crew. Work good. And I'm telling you, that gets around fast. Yeah. And if you aren't, that gets around faster.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, so you guys are on your way. If you guys, if this is the career you want to take, you guys are already on your way, man.
Thank you. Well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you guys were great.
Thanks
this was
for
honestly
us.
Okay, we made it. It's been over an hour and we like literally didn't do any segments besides talk, and this was like the easiest going podcast ever.
We didn't
just
prepare squat and it just flowed. That
easy.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, thank you guys so much. Everyone's going to love this one. So we hope you enjoyed that like the fun episode, the banter back and forth. They give the best banter of all
They're
time.
They're hilarious. I mean, it was just such a great time, and I wish we had more time with them. I know Jordan had to leave, but... It just, they're awesome.
Yeah,
they're
we could have talked for
Ever.
4 hours.
We did no segments, and we're sorry, but.
Yeah, because, and we didn't even get to questions or anything, just because it was such an easy talk.
But yeah, so we're hopefully very happy that you guys enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as we always
Wait, what'd
do.
Wait, would you say we're
hopefully
very happy?
We're very happy. We hope you're very happy, and that would make us happy that, you know, whatever.
We'll have them on again at some point.
Yeah, they're awesome. So anyways, now as we always do, we're going to tap into our reviews because you guys are so awesome and we appreciate you. And all the feedback that we get from you guys is met with a lot of love. And to repay that a little bit, we're going to read your reviews, you know, some that we picked right now. So Nicole, take it away.
Okay, so this one's called Perfectly Relatable by BlueStar_25, 5 stars. First, I liked you guys on BB and then loved you on Amazing Race. From there, I started listening to your Amazing Race recaps and found you both to be as grounded and down to earth as you appear on TV.
Aww.
So I put a pause on both of our favorite podcasts, The Armchair Expert. Sorry, Dax.
Oh, Dax.
To catch up on your earlier episodes. Though I don't know much Spanish and I haven't worn a pair of stilettos a day in my life, I found y'all totally relatable. So glad y'all found each other. Keep it up. Much love, Ashley.
Aw, thank you, Ashley. And Ashley is my sister's name, actually.
Yeah.
So thank you, sis.
It's not your sister.
Thanks, sis. Shout out. And actually, my sister is probably listening. So, Ashley, I love you.
Yeah, but your sister's real name is Ashlyn.
Yeah, her real name is Ashlyn Greman Arroyo.
Yeah.
But
Ashley for
Ashley
short.
Ashley for short. Yeah. Okay. And then, absolute favorite podcast by, I think, and don't get mad at me if I say this wrong, because I don't know if this is part of your last name or first name, but I think it's Kenna Easley. 5 stars. I've been listening to your podcast from day one and have absolutely fell in love. I was at the live taping today in Dallas and I fell in love all over again. It was an amazing experience and I'm so glad I could be there. Thank you so much for hosting such a wonderful event.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. And guys, honestly, that was such an awesome thing. We were so nervous. I'll be honest. We were very nervous going into it because obviously we've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was so nice and welcoming and all the teams were so like forthcoming with information and open to talk. And everybody was just so active and interactive.
We need a name for our listeners, you know, like so we can call them.
Okay.
Like our blank is the best. So if anybody...
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Like, our listeners are the best, but we need something else for listeners, like our Coke, like our something. We got to think of something.
Like, I mean, yeah. I
We'll think about it. If you guys have a good idea for that, DM us.
Yeah,
and,
seriously.
And we might start using it, and we'll give you credit for it. So.
Yeah, we will.
So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed. You can always listen to us here, wherever you're listening, or you can tell people they can listen on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. And you can always go to www.cococalientepodcast.com, and you can listen there and also buy our merchandise.
And one more thing, too, is I get a lot of questions about who does our art, and she is fantastic. She's from like British Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and we tag her in all the posts, and her name is Laura. So if you're in, I know I get that question like daily, tons of times. She's tagged in the art, and then it'll go right to her profile, and you can, you know, get a portrait of yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah. She does a really, really good job.
She does so good.
That was like a blessing in disguise there, trying to find what we're going to do, and it worked out. Good job. Actually, Nicole found her, so props to Nicole.
Yeah, but she just kills it every week.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, always more and more impressed, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And she turns them in, like, just on time, which is perfect, so it's just like, there it is. It's awesome. Perfect. We don't need anything more.
So, yeah, don't forget, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Thank you so much. We love you guys.
Thanks.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.